This is Dodging Death with Stephen Williams Jr. and Ryan Patton.
Easy, yeah.
Hello, Paul.
God, I hate technology.
Oh, fucking hell, you're jumping.
He's all right.
Okay, now he started stuttering to me. We'll see how you get on,
I think it was his jittery movement.
Should I turn my camera off? Because well, that normally works.
Paul, I just think you move sort of as though you're buffering, but you're not actually.
As though you're under a strobe light.
Yeah, it's all sharp movements as though, like, you're buffering and moving there fast, but that's just sort of the skittish way you move. Yeah.
I thought Paul was using lockdown to learn some contemporary dance.
The robot.
Yeah, it was making me feel uneasy, so you'd be quite good in, like, a sort of, I don't know, a psychological thriller musical.
Do they exist? God.
American Psycho was made into a musical.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And even having seen it, I can't tell you if it's any good or not.
Did he have lots of Huey Lewis in it?
Music was very good, but it was original music to the show.
Oh.
Yeah. I'll tell you who was in it, actually, in the West End. Matt Smith.
Formerly Doctor Who.
Paul doesn't seem very interested in our musical chat here.
Paul is just not even looking at the camera.
There was a hair on my microphone that was tickling my nose, and that was much more interesting.
God, we got off to a flyer there.
You know what, Ryan? We'll continue this on the spin-off.
Yeah, Dodging Death presents musical theatre. Oh,
God. At least I know not to listen to the next one now. I don't have to listen to the first 10 minutes before deciding.
Oh, but did you listen to the one that came out this week, Paul?
No.
Oh, to be fair, I haven't been. I only listen to things in the car, and I've worked from home the last 2 days, so.
Okay.
I'm back in the office on Monday, but I still probably won't listen to
it. It's a good one. You should listen to it. It certainly started stronger than this one has. I don't know. Oh, hello, fellas.
Oh, hello, Stephen.
Well,
hello.
My dad is now an avid listener.
Really?
To Dodging Death.
I've got to say, I'm pleased he's a listener, but he's a bit bloody late to the party.
big Paul.
This got legs, this. Big Paul's verdict is, it's much better with three people.
No, really?
Yeah, that was his verdict.
Yeah, but he's going to support his
son, isn't he?
No, my dad is also known as the Simon Cowell of podcasts as well, so if he says it.
So look, I don't want to start with COVID chat. But
it seems like you're going to start with COVID chat.
Well, I feel like we have to, because I don't know if you saw this. Are you aware of Operation Moonshot?
I'm not aware of Operation Moonshot, no.
Operation Moonshot is the rapid test that was coming to Liverpool.
Oh, so the fact that Liverpool's became like the pilot for the government testing system.
Well, it kind of become the pilot because they actually have been trialling it in Manchester for a few weeks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. They haven't talked about Operation Moonshot on CNN in the last 2 days. Which is literally the only thing that's been on my telly now for 2 days.
John King,
what a man.
And John King knows everything about the demographic of every single individual American county across the whole country.
John King and Wolf Blitzer. They're my two.
Not Donk. John King, not Donk.
John King and Wolf
Don King's
Blitzer.
The boxing promoter.
Is Don King still alive?
The boxing promoter.
I think Don King might still be alive, but we're talking about John King.
I know.
The coverage of the American action. That would have been terrible.
Don King is...
Rave, not Mike Tyson when the going for the vote in Maricopa County.
he is still alive. How old is Don King?
77, I reckon.
84, I'd have gone.
Oh, 89 years old he is.
I bet he still looks the exact same as he did when he was 40 as well. That's not saying that he still looks young. It's saying that when he was 40, he looked 89.
you know what? He may be a Trump supporter because there's lots of photos of him with Trump.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that because Trump was like a celebrity in the 80s and 90s? Though?
Well, maybe. I don't want to cast aspersions because he may not be.
Does he share a name with him? Are they both Donald?
Donald King, yeah.
Oh, maybe that's where they shared. That was probably their first opening line to each other. I was like, same name.
I mean, do you think they're in regular contact with all the Donalds?
Particularly Duck, I reckon.
He's the one that speaks the most sense. Anyway, listen, we're bordering political satire. We should move on. So, Operation Moonshot. It's this new rapid COVID testing.
You've just slagged us for talking political, and now you're talking about the government operation.
I know,
but I'm
just thinking it's more medical than political. You know what I mean?
Go on then.
Anyway,
you've left it now.
Also, you know, COVID isn't divisive, is it? Like, everybody's on the same
team. It is. Some people don't even believe it's real.
Yeah, it absolutely is, for some mad reason.
Do not get the vaccine, because what they're actually doing is it's infecting you with a microbiolic chip, which is going to track your movements around the world, and then one day they're going to turn the chip off. That'll kill you.
Yeah,
and you'll die.
Bill Gates was fascinated about getting to grips with the running routes around Walton. That's why he went to track me. Really, really interested in old Bill Gates in that.
Well, I think the fact I said COVID wasn't divisive proves that my Twitter feed is very much an echo chamber. I only follow people with my opinion. Anyway, so it's a rapid COVID test that gives you the result within 20 minutes.
Yes.
They've invested thus far £323 million into the development of this test. They've been trialing it in Manchester before bringing it into Liverpool, and have found that statistically, they missed 50% of the cases. They misreported 50% of the cases, which makes me think they've spent £323 million on tossing a coin that they've done.
I've also seen that today to roll out Operation Moonshot. The army have moved into Pontins.
Oh, yeah.
In Southport,
yeah.
Which... I do not think that Iraq or Afghanistan could have prepared them for what they're about to find in Pontins.
Yeah, the PTSD that they're going to get from a week in Southport Pontins.
PTSD and the worst bed bugs they've ever had.
Do you think they're all just there now, putting 10 pences in like their little tipping point machine?
Yeah, somehow they're going to come out with trench foot and everything like World War One.
Well, you know what, Paul? I could do with a job. Do you think I could be the host of them next to those machines? Anyway, fellas, how are you coping? What's been happening?
Well,
oh, go on.
God.
I'm going to show you something. I realised the podcast is...
Keep it clean, Ryan. I know you're on the webcam, but settle down.
This is what I'm going to get up to over the next week. Can you see
it? Oh, God. He's got his pee-pee out.
I have got my pee out, but it is the pee plate.
The provisional driver plate.
No, it's not provisional. It's passed, but it's like it's sort of alluding to me being just passed, but, you know.
It stands for poor driver.
Yeah.
So it does.
That P means like you're passed, new to the road.
Yeah, provisional is before.
Before?
Of course it is. So I'm well over the provisional now, but I'm getting back out there in these lockdown roads, quieter.
Yeah, but how long ago did
on
you
the
pass
road
your
again?
Test, Ryan?
Thelma and Louise and Ryan. Well, hopefully not. it was about 2 years ago I passed.
Okay, and how long has it been since you've driven?
A year.
Oh.
Finding that bite's going to be a tricky mistress.
You know what, though? I think I got driven in at least that, and there'd be no way I'm slapping on some green peas.
Oh yeah, but you're much more aloof to life than me, aren't you? I'm a panicker. That's what the P stands for. Panicker.
Even panic. Yeah. Are you going to take a biro and fill in the rest of the letters?
Have a vowel, please.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got Rachel Riley putting them on for me.
Susie Dent. Yeah. So you're getting yourself back out there.
Back on the road.
Right. How much is your insurance setting you back?
Oh, I've not looked at that yet.
Oh, God, you are not getting back on the road.
You dove into buying the sticker without insurance.
The sticker seemed much less of a commitment than the insurance, to be honest. The insurance would probably be about £1,000, in the region of £1,000, I reckon, for the year.
I'm going to say more.
The sticker cost me... How much do you reckon the sticker cost me?
£2.50.
£2.95.
Oh, I could have got it for you for £2.50.
Amazon Prime delivery as well, so, you know.
Oh, ooh, speaking of Prime, the BAFTA award winning Tricky TV Season 3 is now available on Amazon Prime.
Oh, no way. So you finally made it to the streaming services.
Oh, made it to streaming.
Yeah, I knew you were going to get there somehow.
I'd claw my way into the streaming service.
Yeah, my bet though was that some shit streaming service would start showing the Richard and Judy show that was on watching. your episodes of that would end up on there.
Well, I was, of course, Mr. Potter's son in Citizen Khan.
Were you?
Yeah! The BBC's potentially worst sitcom. And I've seen Mrs. Brown's Boys. Yeah. on the Christmas special of Citizen Khan, I'm a delivery boy. Yeah.
Did you have a line?
No, I was Mr. Potter's son. Mr. Potter had a line. I was told to knock on the door and look confused.
Oh, do you know what? An interesting thing about the extra work. When I was on the Sopranos tour in New Jersey, the guy, the guide, he said that so you get paid more as an extra if you've got a line. You get paid like I don't know if it's like per word or per line. But so what Edie Falco, who played Carmel in Sopranos, what she used to do to as like a sort of a gesture to the extras, sometimes she would make sure she said something to them that then required them to say a line to her.
Oh, really? That is good.
So the guide had been an extra in The Sopranos, and I think he was in a scene. There's a scene when Carmella and Meadow, they've got this like ritual where they go out for like a fancy meal like once every year, and it's that scene, and he's like the waiter, and Carmella says something to him which meant that he needed to come back with a line, and it meant that he got paid.
Oh, that's good. That's
very nice of you, Falco.
We don't always look for the gags, do we?
Yeah, it is putting a bit of faith though in the extra that they're gonna come out with like the relevant line. Like they might just completely fuck it up.
Oh, what?
Sorry, Easy. I haven't got any lines, you know, love.
Has anyone got a script to hand? I should have read this.
All she needed to say was yes.
Unfortunately, I didn't have any lines.
Yeah, Mr. Potter wasn't so kind as Edie Falco.
No. if he did spring it on me, though, I feel like I'd panic and do an impression. I'd respond as Woody Allen.
Or I reckon you'd like hammer up and try and steal the show. You go into a big Hamlet monologue and be like, try and become the star of Citizen Khan.
Oh, Steve wanna take all the attention. No, never.
What brought on, just to bring it back, your what with the pee plates? Why are you going back into it?
Because I feel like I need to conquer the fear of driving at some point, don't I?
Suppose so.
Mm. I've been in the car with you.
I know, and you were terrified.
No, I know.
I can totally understand your fear of driving. I was terribly fearful.
Well, you and I were both in the car, and we had to go brake.
Yeah. It was like an episode of The Wacky Races or something.
You were approaching a right turn at like 30 mile an hour and was refusing to slow down.
I was leaning the controls.
You passed.
Yeah, you got the certificate at that point.
But you say the first, you only start learning after you pass your test, don't they? Don't know who says that, but you know.
You.
I thought that's what they say. Is that what they say?
I don't think you had a qualified teacher if that's what they were saying.
Just slip the driving test, man, £50. Yeah. And then after it, you'll learn as you go, don't worry.
Yeah, blowy if need be.
It was a car like Fred Flintstone, there was no bottom, we were just walking. just put your hands out and then it indicates that you're going right. That's all you have to do.
None of this mechanism, Lark.
To say it was like wacky races, it would explain why you grew that handlebar moustache at the time.
Oh, Dick Dastardly doesn't have a handlebar moustache, though.
Yeah, he does. More of a black cape. And
it's not a handlebar. It's a twirl. It's a twirl.
Oh, now in my mind, they're the same thing. Are they not the same thing?
No, the handlebar extends towards the chin.
So
it's sort of...
If you can imagine, Alan Carr. And what was the other one?
Justin Lee Collins.
Very Justin Lee Collins.
No, he had a beard.
I don't think so. I think he had a handlebar moustache.
No, handlebar moustache, Danny Trejo.
Don't know who that is.
You do. He's in loads of films.
No, I've Googled it, and it's your turn up. That was Dick Dastardly. It is.
It's not a handlebar moustache. You Google down. Because they give you it's handles at the side of the mouth.
This calls for a screen share.
Oh, yeah. So it's the second one.
Okay, yeah. One shows like you're describing all
it is
the
strange.
Others.
That's only. Oh, there's two on that page. There's another one.
No, so
down.
I think in order to achieve the twisty one, you need to grow a handlebar moustache and then you style it. Then
see, I would have agreed with Ryan, but unfortunately, Ryan Google Images says different.
I think Steve has Googled whatever the name for that moustache
and
has changed the search term without entering. That's my prediction.
Because no, it's not.
The handlebar moustache is you grow the... It handles the side of the face.
Oh, classic handlebar moustache and Dick Dastardly.
Have you been watching yourself, Steve, on Prime?
You know what? Yeah, I have. And I was awful.
Really? Oh, can we watch it?
A deep dive.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll be... I think Amazon will clamp down if we play any of it.
Bezos will sue the podcast.
Yeah. Oh. We can't afford a fourth mic, so... Yeah, so I wouldn't recommend people watch it. I was somewhat disappointed in my... tell you what I have, actually. Quite a Scouse accent.
Oh. Do you? I can't remember you ever talking with a Liverpool accent.
Yeah.
No, I can't remember talking about an accent.
Yeah,
it's always been this monotone.
You always say monotone, Paul.
Boring.
I've got a lovely bounce.
No, I think it's a sort of geographically unknown. It's
ambiguous.
It's a nomad. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
The Simon Carl of podcast you've described you as very posh.
Oh, well, there we go. Yeah. And did he go, still don't like it when there's only two of them, though?
Yeah.
we'll be discussing that off the air. So I don't know if you saw this. There was a male chastity device.
What? Well, I don't even know what chastity is.
This is what I was looking for. I didn't think Paul would know. Ryan, are you aware?
So it's to prevent any sexual intercourse, isn't it? It's like an actual.
It locks in the
penis.
Yeah.
Oh.
And anyway, a Chinese company have come up with one of these that links to your phone. It's like a modern day version of it. Anyway, they put out a statement the other day to say, unfortunately, it can be controlled by hackers.
Oh.
Yeah, they've got into the device. So they did an interview with The Guardian, I can see here, and they said, if it happens and you are like actually locked in, there's no real built-in mechanism, so you've got to go at it with a screwdriver.
Oh,
and I just thought,
have you got to go at? Is it like a cage around the?
Yeah,
it's like
midriff.
How
would you put pants on?
Cellmate.
What's the reason for them in the first place, though? Why?
I don't know. Oh, hold on. Which is marketed both as an anti-cheating and submission sex play device. Anti-cheating's a bit bloody far, isn't it?
But so is it like for like a sex addict? So like Tiger Woods would say that like, oh, he needs a chastity belt to sort of as part of his rehabilitation.
I don't know. You should go and bloody speak to someone if that's what it comes to.
Maybe that's why he performed so badly in golf for a few years.
Had a big old weight down there.
Tried to pull it out as a three iron. It's metal. It don't do the job.
So they say if you speak to the customer service, they may be able to unlock it virtually. Otherwise, you need to break it open with a screwdriver or similar device. Oh. That's not what you want, is it?
So, knowing like people have got that like awareness for like anti-cheating reasons, are they just going about their day-to-day like wearing it?
Yeah, like, I think you do. Yeah, I think you just
how would that be like sort of if you really need to go for like a wee and then like would you?
Oh, that's true.
It's another obstacle, isn't it? Before like you can go.
Yeah, yeah, and you don't have a screwdriver to hand. Yeah, I don't know what. And also, if you've got to take it off for that reason, you know, could you not just say you were really hydrated and just have a little quickie?
Yeah, because if you're in control over it as well, you can then take it off. So it's sort of like, it's just like a pair of pants then, isn't it?
No, it is. You can lock it onto thin air.
Yeah. Also, what did the hackers get from doing that? I have issue with the hacker.
The Mexican restaurant train.
What do the hackers get from
I don't know.
I think of the comedy gold though, sat at home.
I know, but you never see it though.
That's it.
Yeah. Are they just I'm gonna be a bit of a nuisance with my life? Is that all that you wanna do?
Well, having said that though, the hacker probably releases all locks, whatever they do, and then is like, oh, out in the ether there's thousands and thousands of people responding to this. I think that with this show.
Are you saying that this is the equivalent of someone like locking a chastity belt?
Sometimes that's what it feels like, I must say.
Yeah, it's very frustrating, this show. Yeah.
Painful, frustrating, and not much fun.
I don't know how much one would cost either.
A hacker order, isn't it?
No. I'm going to have a look at
I'm assuming the only way the hacker benefits from this is if they go, oh, it was me that locked it. You need to pay me like 10,000 Bitcoin.
Oh,
maybe. And I'll unlock it.
Yeah, well, I've just searched it. Cellmate Chastity Cage, short model. Do you think that's kind of dependent on...
Oh, I thought short model was like gonna like was indicating of the person like modeling it.
Do you mean if someone's like 5'6", they get a different one?
Yeah, model short. Also, was your point that it's for the less endowed?
I think it's for the less endowed.
Oh
yeah,
I wouldn't have thought that he'd come in size, but I suppose if it's a cage, it's sort of it's quite necessary for the cage to be fitted
snug.
Yeah.
You don't want to just be able to slide it off. you've got a gaffer tapered on to secure it there.
Yeah, if it's like a particularly cold day or something, oh god. I think my belt fell off.
What's that clang?
And imagine it on ITV News, the weather tomorrow, heavy winds, so if you're wearing your chastity belt, make sure it's strapped in tightly.
Swap models, everyone.
Yeah, put a bit of cotton pads in there to bulk it up.
I'll show it to you. How much do you think the going rate for one of these is?
Well, it looks like a bit of, you know, secure bit of kit, if that's the right
word.
Yeah,
but it's not. That's the issue.
I know, but like the locking device seems like it's not secure like digitally because it's prone to being hacked.
Yeah.
But in terms
of... How have you found this is more worrying than anything?
Oh, as I find all my news pull, The Guardian. I think they wanted some sweet relief from COVID chat.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you think?
I think it's $189.
$64.99.
Oh, actually, Paul, did I not scroll up enough on the screen?
That's the pedals of the screen share, that is. I didn't even notice.
I know.
That's stupid.
Like, big and bold right below the photo, it said it.
I was just looking at there's some of the features. Distance is no longer a factor in key holding. No physical keys needed to enjoy chastity. Is it something? Is enjoy is the wrong word? Is it not?
Don't know. Also, let's say my phone battery died. You can't say to your mate, "Do me a favor, download this app for me." Like, find my iPhone.
This is grim as grim.
Yeah,
as
this
chat.
Is very depressing.
Your cookies are gonna latch onto that. You know, you're gonna keep getting advertised after a chastity belt.
Yeah, I will. I was reading it in a very classy paper.
Talking of high tech inventions and development.
Yeah,
I've signed up to donate my blood plasma in the next couple of weeks.
Oh,
for the benefit of dying COVID patients.
Wow, that's very good. Ooh, of you, that's
very noble of you. No. Of course, you want to get that in, isn't it? A bit of get a bit of good PR.
If anyone is a dying,
if Paul donates to charity, he does not click that anonymous box, does he?
Oh, no chance.
Not that at bloody all. Credit.
I want everyone to know the good deed. No, so yeah, in a couple of weeks, so I have to go to give blood. So I give my blood as normal, and then it goes into a machine, and my blood is spun. It extracts the plasma, and then they then give me the blood back. And then want me to go back in 2 weeks to do the same, every 2 weeks to do the same thing.
Oh, wow.
But I was thinking, like, obviously, I don't want to lose my immunity, because once lockdown has ended, I'm going to make the most of it as much as I can. And I think I don't mind sharing my antibodies, but I don't want to give them away.
What are you suggesting? We make the most of it as much as you can, Paul?
I want to go out for my tea. I want to go to the pub. I want to go and walk around.
You're suggesting you can't wait for that orgy train, that, Paul?
Balls
can't wait to get a chastity belt off.
So yeah, so I don't mind sharing, but I want to know that they're not taken.
Yeah, I mean, is that how you work though?
I've got no idea.
I don't think it's like, I don't think there's like a finite amount of antibodies. Is it like sort of that, like, I've got 10, I'll give you 5 and I want to keep 5.
Like sweets.
Yeah. Like a kidney pull.
Hey, sorry about the interruption. Dodging Death podcast is completely free. But if you want to support the show and get lots of extras, you can on Patreon. Not only will you get the episodes 24 hours before everyone else and without this part in them, but depending on your tier, you'll also get everything from exclusive merch to the team recording live in your home. So to find out more and help support the show, visit patreon.com/dodgingdeathpodcast.
Right, shall we go into the feature?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, it's a shame I'm not hosting this week, because last week I had, of course, Bungie called the trivia about elastic bands. This week I had a good old feature planned about stationery I was hoping to do, but Ryan, you're doing it instead.
Thank God.
Yes, I'm gonna bring back some credibility to our features.
Questions about paper clips I had for you.
Well, obviously, I don't know if any of the noises are carried through, but it has been bonfire night this week.
Yeah,
and I don't know. I'm gonna cast your minds back to last year, because I hosted the feature on Bonfire Week last year too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and do you remember what the feature was called?
I don't think it's Bonfire Week either. I think it's just Bonfire Night.
Bonfire Week. Listen to the fireworks going on. They tell me a bit different. I look in the sky and it's still light. You know, Catherine Wheel.
Bonfire Night, though, is very, it's not regional, is it? But it's only an English thing.
Global.
No, it's not.
It is.
It's not.
It is.
Bonfire Night is English because it was the House of Parliament.
Oh, shit. Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, but has it been adopted globally?
No. I was thinking... No, he's right.
Fireworks have been adopted globally.
Do you know when I realised that my point was wrong then? Is because I was going to say, think of the New Year's Eve celebrations. I got Bonfire Night confused with just general fireworks. So that was a bit stupid, yeah.
And yeah, I've just searched it. They do not celebrate it in America.
Oh,
yeah.
Anyway, we've we're going off the point here. Do you remember what the feature was last year?
It was Penny for the Rye.
Penny for the Rye. Well, I thought I would bring back Penny for the Rye this year.
Oh, okay.
But a big theme around Bonfire Week is remember, isn't it? Remember the 5th of November.
Yeah.
So what I'm gonna do the exact same feature as last year to test how well you remember Penny for the Rye.
Oh, Steve, can't we do the play paperclip game?
Oh, I thought it was a great idea.
So you're just repeating the same feature.
It's the exact same questions, exactly the same questions.
Okay.
I'm quite concerned that when we originally started doing this podcast, I wanted the features to be quite informative, and I don't think you've retained any information.
I mean, Paul... often he phones in these whole episodes, so I don't think he retains anything from
that. I'm at the top of the leaderboard, so
yeah.
And oh, God,
as part of the remembrance feature, I am not going to give you any options. I think if you rack the cranium, you will find the answer.
Okay, not very confident about this one, Paul.
Okay, no, so yeah, so it's Guy Fawkes trivia, just in case.
Okay,
I didn't say that, but you know.
Okay, then.
Yeah. Anyway, let's go for Penny for the Rye.
Penny for the Rye.
Penny for the Rye. Penny,
you know what? Back then, we were still paying Rick to record weekly, so we may even have a little Penny for the Rye jingle from Rick.
But I was going to call it Penny for the Rye again.
We don't have that one.
Yeah.
Do we not have Rick doing the jingles no more?
We don't have.
He's failed.
Yeah. yeah, we don't have him do the weekly feature title anymore. Yeah, bit of this, Paul. I'm rubbing my fingers together to give the cash
the moolah.
Unless Paul, give us a say Penny for the Rye again, a la Rick.
Penny for the Rye.
Okay, now do it a la Rick, Paul.
That was like Bean, that, Paul.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I was going for.
Yeah. Okay, let's go for the feature.
Go.
Are you ready to round one?
Round one.
Round one of Penny for the Rye again. So, last year... I'm going to phrase it exactly the same.
Did you listen back to our previous episode?
I did. It was on an episode called Stage Fright or Stood with Cock Out, which I thought was one of our better titles, that one. It was a good one. I went back into the
dog. Was I on the episode or was it Josh?
You were, Paul. You were. I can confirm. Actually, it was one of Stephen's best performing features.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh.
He kicked your ass. It was 4-0.
Oh, wow. God.
Yeah. Oh. So, but we weren't in the running for the golden toilet then, so it has not counted into the overall leaderboard.
Okay, well, hopefully I can use that to my advantage.
If you remember,
means it's in there somewhere.
Yeah, depending on how well you can remember.
Yes.
You may get, and it may be another whitewash.
Okay.
It may be another trouncing, another trampling for the Williams. Anyway. So the rhyme goes, remember the 5th of November.
Yeah.
But can you remember the year that the gunpowder plot occurred?
Paul, you can go first.
And I'm going to say it again. There's no multiple choice options because I told you this last year.
It seems just really mean.
if you get it within a 10-year radius, I'll give you a...
Yeah, but right, none is closest to.
All right.
I'll go 1820.
I think it was well before that.
Yeah, I think it was well before that.
I'm gonna go 1720.
I think it was 1600 or something like that now.
Are you changing the poll? You've locked in, Paul.
I've locked in your answer. I've locked it in. It was 1605.
Oh, see, I knew it was.
That was like a bit of dodging.
No, you never, Paul. You said 18.
I got 1600 though at the second time.
Yeah, you both leapt with the 17 and 1800s last time as well. So that was like, it shows you've learned nothing from this podcast. So that, anyway, Stephen gets the point 1-0.
Oh, here we go.
Okay. So, are you ready for round 2?
Ready.
So, can you remember how old Guy Fawkes was when he died?
Paul, I'm going to let you go first.
No, you're going first this time.
Okay.
I think... can't even remember being asked these questions. I think you've changed the question.
I believe it's remember. Don't say it once. You don't say it once in November.
I think Guy Fawkes, you've got to consider the kind of man who would do it. A bit of an anarchist.
Oh, very much an anarchist.
Very much so. I don't think he was an older man. I think he was 42.
When he died.
Yeah.
I'll go 43.
Ah,
Paul, your little trick has backfired.
Oh, yes!
Guy Fawkes was actually 35.
Oh, here we go.
It's a repeat of last year's Penny for the Rye. Stephen Williams has leapt to a 2-0 lead.
As per bloody usual, though, there's still a bonus round. Paul's going to win.
Okay, so round 3.
Yeah.
Can you remember in what graphic novel turned into a movie did they wear
Viva Vendetta?
Fawkes. Stephen says Viva Vendetta. That is correct.
Yes.
Hang on, I would have said Viva Vendetta. You just didn't get to the end of the question.
No, Paul, I remember last year you hadn't seen Viva Vendetta, and Steve had.
Yeah. I've seen it since.
I mentioned, oh, that's a good one, Matt. Yeah. I'll do that next Bonfire Night where I'll repeat these questions.
remember the 5th of November.
And I mentioned Viva Vendetta in this week's spin-off episode.
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's probably what gave me the idea for this week's feature. So, again, in a repeat of last year, Stephen Williams has trounced to a 3-0 lead. Oh, but,
go on.
Again, as last year, because he got 100% of them right, it has unlocked that bonus round. The bonus round is nothing to do with Guy Fawkes.
Okay.
I explained this last year.
Is it about paperclips?
I extend it more broadly to fireworks. Specifically, fireworks in movies.
Okay.
Hey, so one of the most iconic scenes in a film featuring a firework is from, you know, a favorite of all of ours, Toy Story.
Yes.
So Buzz Lightyear is fired out. He uses a rocket.
Oh, now you've started. I remember this question.
Yeah.
And I don't.
Carry on.
Yeah, is fired away. Fires out of the removal truck to get onto where the toys are. Or maybe it's the opposite way around. He's on a rocket anyway.
Okay.
But he delivers an iconic line to Woody. What is it that he says?
It's not flying. It's falling with style.
Oh, so you both remember that one? I didn't anticipate that.
I think Stephen got it. You know, in the photo finish, Stephen was there. That bit quicker.
You know what? I think
does Stephen know the whole of the rhyme?
No, Paul, you done this.
I know the whole of the rhyme.
You've done this, like, because it finished last year's episode. It finished 3-1 because you got a point. I gave you a pity point because you knew the rhyme.
I would like a pity point this year as well, please.
I continue not to know the rhyme.
I don't remember it either. I know remember for November. Gunpowder, treason, and plot. That's it.
I saw no reason why gunpowder season should ever be forgot. Give me the golden toilet now. Over and out. Good night.
I actually don't know. While that
Happy
is impressive,
bonfire week.
Again, Paul, I don't know how to what to do as host here because you've both remembered.
Yeah, remembered. But I think if we look at the consistency across that game, the point should really go to Stephen.
I got the last two. I would have got Viva Vendetta,
you never got them.
You shouted over me.
I know, but it was the first to remember.
First
though,
remember.
Wasn't it?
So, yeah.
No, it wasn't. That was not stipulated in the rules, and it never has been.
I know.
It's always Steve gives his answer, and then I give mine.
Okay. Much like, let's spend £323 million and toss a coin.
Oh, I have a coin.
Okay.
Yeah, but Paul, you're taking part. No. You can't toss it.
I don't have a camera, though.
I've got an... Can either of you remember what I famously used that line from Toy Story 4? How it's relevant to something that I've done in my life?
Yuda, that's a wrap. A movie-themed takeaway.
Yeah, doing business.
Oh, yeah. Not, is it on the right? Is it in the ballpark? But nah, these have got to correct it. Can't we toss the coin?
Yeah, I've got no idea.
Do you remember Pixar Airlines? No.
No.
Pixar Airlines isn't flying, it's falling in style.
No, Brian, I didn't do business studies with you.
That was you and I. That was
okay. Well, I mean, look, we've got less than a minute left on this current
Zoom
recording.
That's also an absolutely terrible strap line for an airline.
It's not. And yet again, this is another rerun of the conversation from last year where I had to defend that this isn't flying, it's falling style.
It's a terrible strap line.
There is not a chance I would get on an airline that describes it as falling in
falling.
Style.
Because falling style means that you're not going to crash.
No, falling in style means that plane's held together with gaffer tape. Okay, so Ryan, who is the winner?
Well, Ryan, you need to man up, grab a pair of balls, and pick one of us, preferably
no,
me.
I'm an impartial host. Shall we do that coin flick then?
Do the coin, yeah, spin the coin.
Right.
No, because Steele have some sort of weird magic trick where he can control the coin.
He can't influence me. You're both watching. You're the Republican observers, and I'm the Georgian vocalist.
I'm calling this like Trump did. I know I've won. I'm claiming the point now.
You want to simultaneously stop the toss and
stop
have
the toss.
Go ahead.
Stop the toss right now. I've won. It's over.
Do you know what? I was quite confident I had the coin to hand. I don't really.
I've got one here.
Yeah, but Paul, you're not impartial.
No, because then it's not. It's rigged then.
Fake news.
It's fake news.
Went into disarray this episode.
I don't carry cash.
Oh, Ryan has found a coin.
I present to you a 2p piece.
This is the first ever Dodging Death flip-off.
No, yeah. I know.
We often get flipped off as well. So,
we need a name for it, a feature name. It's
Dodging Death Decides. No. Okay, shall I do the coin toss?
Come on then, Ryan.
You need to call who's heads and who's tails.
Oh, yeah.
Steve, you can call first. You can call first because you won in terms of numbers.
Okay, well, I'm going to say heads.
Okay.
I will also go heads.
I'm about to do the coin toss.
Okay.
Tails for Paul. I know he's not going to be able to toss a coin. Oh.
Oh.
That was a solid toss, that.
You're a good tosser, Ryan, I'll tell you that.
I'm so sorry, Stephen.
The coin is my friend.
No.
Yeah, just for in the interest of, you know, legitimacy.
Oh, no.
That is tails.
Thank you.
Which means
give me the toilet.
Against, you know, as
this
unfair as it is.
This is absolutely unacceptable.
As unfair as it is. Paul G wins penny for the rye again.
Thank you.
Oh, even when it comes down to that, Paul still wins.
I can't believe that. Do you know what? Do you know where a coin toss sometimes like decides like what? Like it's a good way of deciding what you should do because
you like really know in yourself.
I'm rooting for a direction, and you feel your stomach sort of drops a little bit.
What happened to being an impartial host?
this is what I'm saying. I'm also an honest host.
Yeah,
so I'm sort of confessing that I was rooting for heads there. So I'm sorry, Paul, but that was based on performance and you know, and commitment to the penny for the rye again.
Yeah.
In another game, another week, I'll be rooting for you. So it is. I just thought, to be honest, that's all.
No, I appreciate it. Remember a year ago, I had a great bang gag.
You done boom, boom.
Boom, boom.
Yeah, so you were like performing quite well. So what you started doing was you were saying boom, boom. And you said it. You said it a few times. And you said, I don't want to say it again because I don't want to be like Basil Brush. And it was quite, we all laughed. It was great. Listen back to that one. Better than this one.
The amount you find your own gags funny, Steve, is very concerning.
Yeah, it's
Right, shall we do the Discoversty?
Yes.
I'm not using the book this week. I've got another one.
Oh, okay. Well, Paul, what's your fact?
So, not only, obviously, it's American Election Week, CNN, yep. John yep. King, Wolf Blitzer, the whole shebang.
Mm-hmm.
I've also learned this week, though, that not only the 70 million Americans bizarre enough to want to vote for Donald Trump, but also there are 3 states in America where it's legal to own a kangaroo without a permit.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. Do you know what
one of them? I'm sure one of them is Michigan as well. One of the swing states.
Oh, one of the ones that flipped.
Yeah, well, flipped and hopped, apparently.
Oh, very good.
So, yeah, that's mine, anyway.
Okay.
Mine's seasonal. Do you want to go for me now?
Yes, Ryan.
Sorry, it's actually Wisconsin. I take it back.
Go on, Ryan.
So, my one is... though this one could also be one from the Dodge and Death Archives. I might have said this one before, but, you know... You won't remember it, so I don't.
Well,
care.
I have just had you repeat an entire one of my gags, and not only have you said this fact before, you've also done their entire feature before.
His helmet and out of ideas. The fireworks. So you know what characterized the Bonfire Night now. They were born out of an accident. A chef in China in the 10th century, he mixed together 3 common kitchen ingredients, potassium nitrate,
salt. I thought you said common kitchen ingredients, and you start with potassium nitrate. I thought you were going to say salt. That's a common kitchen ingredient. Paprika, maybe.
Potassium nitrate, I've done my omelette. Yeah, potassium nitrate or salt. I don't know how you pronounce that. That's okay. Not that common, that one. But yeah. And sulfur and charcoal. We're going back to 10th century China. It might have been common in the kitchen.
Yeah, okay,
then.
Maybe, yeah.
And then and it resulted in colourful flames in the kitchen.
Oh.
And then he discovered that if you burned those three ingredients in a bamboo shoot, there was a big explosion.
And, oh, I tell you, I'd hate to live in his house. right, well, my fact, hunting unicorns is legal in Michigan.
Oh, so it's another one of the swing states ones.
Yeah.
I like when we sort of do a bit of topicality.
Oh, yeah. Well, Michigan offers a unicorn hunting license. Unsurprisingly, the chief of the unicorn hunters was once quoted as saying, "The pursuit of the unicorn is a lonely quest." Well, good to see you, fellas.
good to see you.
You can follow us on Patreon, which there's no one new to name this week. What's the address, Ryan?
Patreon.com/ Dodging Death Podcast.
You can follow us on Instagram, which is Paul.
@ Dodging Death Podcast.
And you can send us an email to dodgingdeathpodcast@gmail.com. Cheers, fellas. I will see you next week.
See you next week.
Thanks, Dave.
Leave Dodging Death a 5-star review on iTunes.